could have 3 losses by now.
I don't know about that.
They are not that good.
Put Florida State in there, I would say yes to that, what you just said.
On return by Caleb Downs. And he finds a seam. He makes the punter look silly. Caleb Downs, show him what you got. Touchdown, Bama.
5 minute drive now for UTEP. And they will keep it on the ground. Ewan just gets pile driven by Stutzman.
Really haven't even tried from the shotgun. That throw is intercepted. Pierce down the sideline. Touchdown.
Claiborne, the sophomore, has 1 score so far this season. Griffiths will buy a little bit of time. Falling down, lost the football. Play is still live. And recovered by the Monarchs. LaMarion James will take it the other way for the ODU touchdown.
Welcome back to the IDP Grind. I'm at Hollywood Dutton. I'm joined by my co-host, Justice. What's going on, man?
Not much. Trying to stay dry. It's rainy and a little chilly today.
Well, it's clear in 73 here, if that makes you feel any better.
Nice. Very nice.
Just admiring our new intro that you put together for us.
Yeah.
Pretty well done.
Sucks no more LaMarion James at Old Dominion. He'll be at TCU now, but
yeah. Well, the Caleb Downs was a nice one, and the James Pierce and the Stutzman. You can't go wrong with Stutzman because he'll stick you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we're back this week. We are doing transfer portal and coaching changes for Conference USA. We got some news and notes first, quite a bit of news and notes. So we'll go ahead and get started on those. UMass is set to join the MAC Conference in 2025. So we've still got some conference realignment stuff going on, but they seem to be joining the MAC, which should be fun. That'll give them a competing chance, I think. But they'll fit right in that group, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they can get their football program, you know, to a more sustainable future, I guess, right? Where they're not having to, you know, kind of figure out the schedule as they go. I think it's just interesting for them in general because I think most fans, you know, would view it as probably a negative, maybe from the standpoint of, you know, basketball for UMass, you know, traditionally they were, you know, pretty well thought of basketball team. Even though they haven't done so well lately, they're leaving the A-10, which arguably is a much better basketball conference than the MAC. But, you know, I think last time they went to NCAA tournament was 2014. So, you know, joining the MAC could be good for them in terms of making the NCAA tournament, right?
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good move for them. And you were talking about back in the day, that was, date myself a little bit, Marcus Camby was the big star there at UMass. So they're not quite to that level that they used to be. But
no.
They're still a good team. And I think with how they play and with what they play, the kind of athletes that they get, especially on football, right? The caliber of athletes, I think that will match up nicely with what they have in the MAC, because it's similar. I think they're similar recruiting profiles and athletes and stuff, so I think they'll fit very well there.
So that leaves I think other than Notre Dame, which kind of has the loose affiliation with the ACC, the only football independent left is Connecticut.
Yes, because who's the other one that joined a conference this year?
Army joined a conference.
Army, yes.
So, they joined the American.
Well, I think the way of being independent is gone. And I think that Notre Dame, I was talking to somebody, and maybe you were on the conversation. I think this kind of forces Notre Dame. They're going to have to join a conference at some point. And the reason is because of the college football playoff. Because if they're doing five winners, conference winners, so it doesn't really matter if you're the number one overall team in the country. Those five are going to get the higher seeds above you. So the best Notre Dame could be would be a six seed if they, you know, was to run the table and whatever. You're going to be an automatic six seed in the tournament because you're going to be behind the five conference champions. So I don't think that would set well with them. And they're usually a pretty good team. I mean, as far as a contender goes. So being left out of that conversation, I would think would kind of nudge them or begin to force them into looking for a conference.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is, you know, if the Big Ten and the SEC expand again, and then it kind of looks like, you know, you're kind of going to this group of two and then everybody else, then they'd have to kind of jump in at that point as well.
Right. Well, if I was the ACC, the smart thing to do would be get ahead of this and try to get them into the ACC. Because that's, you know, they joined for a year, but during the COVID year or whatever it was. So you may not like Notre Dame, but I think that's a smart move for the ACC. Now, whether that would happen or not.
I think the ACC would love them to join, but I don't think that Notre Dame wants to do it.
And I don't think Notre Dame is an SEC school. I don't think they fit.
No, I think if they join, they're going to join the Big Ten.
Yeah, I do too. Which is a perfect segue to our next piece here. Notre Dame, a league that can stay established. Notre Dame College, not to be confused with Notre Dame University, but Notre Dame College, a D2 school in Ohio, is shutting its football program down. 90-plus players from that school has entered the portal. They'll probably stay in Division II, I would imagine. Maybe some will have to move down to Division III or whatever. But 90 players have entered the portal. And when I first saw this, I was like, oh, that stinks. And it does. I hate for any type of program, whether it's athletics or music or, you know, anything to shut down. But the entire school is shutting down. Lack of funding, lack of attendance, or, you know, not attendance, but a lack of what's the word I'm looking for? Enrollees, I guess.
Enrollment, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they just don't have the numbers to sustain. And unfortunately, they're going to have to shut down the whole school over here. So that kind of stinks. I'm all about, forget the sports part of it, you know, I'm all about knowledge. So that's another place where you can go to make yourself better that's not going to be around, it doesn't appear. So anyway, that's 90 players that's entering the portal there. If you've been following the news, a federal judge grants an injunction against the NCAA citing antitrust laws. So this goes to the whole Tennessee, Virginia suing the NCAA over this. So federal judge in Greenville, which is about an hour and a half from me, they went ahead and granted the injunction. So from what I hear, there was a lot of people didn't expect that to happen. They just didn't think the NCAA, that the judge would grant that against the NCAA, and sure enough, it happened. So it looks like the NCAA, for all intents and purposes, is about done with college football. I mean, they don't have much left. So I guess that's good for the schools. But it'll be interesting to see if they do a common commissioner, maybe.
I mean, it's crazy to where this could go, right? Because they can be deemed employees, right? And then, like, right, at that point, well, employees, they don't go to college. Employees can't only be employed for 4 years. You know, there's all these other ramifications that, like, yeah, I don't know, like, I'm assuming, like, you know, that there'll be like a players union, and then there'll be a collective bargaining agreement, and then that kind of stuff would be in there, right? Where they have to be students and they have to can only do it for X number of years. And I don't know. It just, it's kind of crazy where this can all kind of lead to.
Yeah, I mean, for what Tennessee and Virginia is fighting for all of football, right, or all of sports, it's the right thing to do. But like you said, the doors that are being opened now by them doing the right thing is, it's going to be crazy. And I'm kind of on the same track with you. I think we're eventually going to see a union and there's going to be some kind of bargaining agreement. It's going to be crazy. I don't know where it eventually ends, but it's definitely going to be crazy. And it's all going to be for these athletes, right? They're the ones that's going to benefit as long as nobody gets in the way. And I think this was a big hurdle, you know, granting this injunction, that was a big hurdle to get out of the way right out of the gate. So we'll have to see where it goes. Getting to more of the football related news, I guess. I don't know if you saw this, but the SEC is pushing to move the early sign-in period up to the start of December and then have a dead period for the rest of the month. And it's partly in an attempt to avoid an overlap with the transfer portal, right? Now, I know there's another another early sign or another signing period in February that's always been there. I've listened to a lot on the radio, especially here locally. One of the guys that covers this, he's pretty in tune with all this, and he kind of agrees with it, right? Then again, his thing was, well, why don't we just go back to being the one signing period in February and be done with it like we used to be? As you know, everything's money driven. You know, just look at the NFL. Everything they do is money driven, right? They space everything out. They're starting to charge for events. They're looking at moving the combine, for Christ's sake. So the NCAA is, as far as college football, is kind of doing the same thing, but it was part of the coaches too, because they just never had any time off the way it's set now, because when the portal opens up in December, you're working that. And then you're trying to get these top kids in that want to sign right away and get on campus for spring football. You're trying to get them signed. And it just never really left, because you've got bowl games in December. You've got if you're fortunate enough to be, one of the top teams, you're into the playoffs, which we saw this year took us almost to February. And then when February rolls around, you're right back to the signing period for high school again. So I see it in that aspect that they don't really get a break. And I think that's part of it. But I think avoiding the overlap with the transfer portal is the big one, because you don't want to go into the transfer portal and bring these kids in if you're going to be able to sign these other guys a couple of weeks later, because the portal opens before the early signing period. I think the early signing period is like middle of December, and I think the portal kind of starts like a week or so before that. So if you can flip-flop those, that'll definitely help you, because then you don't have to go to the portal if you don't. If you're getting some of these kids that you want, right, then you're not having to go look elsewhere. And I think that's part of the problem. They don't want to guarantee Justice a full ride scholarship and then him change his mind and they don't have anybody in the portal, right? So I think I'm okay with it, but I think they should just narrow this down to one period for me, as far as the
period. Well, I wonder if they just don't make like the period that much earlier. So like now the kid can sign in August or something. I don't know, like September, whatever. Get it way earlier than it is now, December, and then still have the one in February.
Yeah, I saw somewhere,
because you really can't do anything about the transfer portal. That window is going to be what it's going to be. You can't really can't really mess with that too much because, you know, guys are people are going to want to have those kids enrolled in January. You know,
right.
So
yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's just the recruiting period, and I kind of see that. I'm kind of with you. Maybe they could do it like November, right? Like
right.
early so, November.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, you've got from the 1st of November to Thanksgiving or whatever it is, or do it in the middle of November and say, hey, you know, you can do it all the way up to the 1st of December and then it's off again. But never ending. It's always something seems to be. We just finished up the NFL Combine. There was no Jerzon Newton, no Cooper DeJean, unfortunately. Along with some other players.
Friday. I watched Friday the most. I didn't watch any of yesterday, and I watched a little bit of Saturday. But I guess
Friday, I didn't watch a lot of Friday, the offense.
Friday was the defensive guys mostly, so that's what I watched
the most. Yeah, I watched a lot of it when I got home, and I didn't watch much of the offense, but man, Dallas Turner made some money at the combine.
I was kind of surprised with Cam Kitchens. Like his, I don't know that I expected him to like set the world on fire or anything, but I didn't expect him to certainly be as bad as he was.
Yeah, his 40 time was super slow. I think it was in the 4.72 or something like that.
He kind of did bad in everything. And you know, here's the guy
being talked about. And James Williams tested poorly too, as far as
his
speed comes. So, but they're more in the box safety. So I'm not as put off by that as much as, you know, like a free safety or a corner, you know, where speed is everything. I mean, speed is a lot at safety too, but with their style of play, I can kind of justify the slower speed, I guess. But, man, Dallas Turner, if there was ever a player in this class that kind of pushed the narrative on Jared Verse, I think it was Dallas Turner. Because he had, looking at his numbers, he had the top 40 time. He had the top 10 split. He had the top vertical. His vertical was off the charts. It was over 40 inches. I mean, he just jumped through the roof. So, I think Verse is still the number one defensive end or edge, however you want to say it. But I think Dallas Clark is – I think he's really close there. So I'm going to definitely have to go back and look at the two.
The one thing that I guess I saw is a couple – I've seen a couple of people mention this, a couple of NFL IDP content producers, like expressing concern that Dallas Turner – was like with the linebackers, but like, I feel like that was fairly, that's fairly normal, right? Like, I mean, I don't have any concern that he's going to be a linebacker on MFL. He's going to be a defensive end because he's going to be an edge.
Right.
Now what Sleeper does, I don't know. Like, I don't play in Sleeper League. So I have no idea what they're going to do, but I mean, like, in all the leagues I'm in, the fact that he ran with a linebacker didn't mean anything. And there was another kid, too, that was an edge. Is a Duke, I think, from Kansas State, Khalid Duke.
Khalid Duke, yeah.
He's an edge, too, right? But he was with the linebackers. So, like, I have zero concern that he, quote, did the combine with the linebackers. I mean, I guess it is something to pay attention to in your specific leagues, but I have zero doubt that in MFL, he is going to be a defensive end.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he may be – it's going to be like everybody else. It'll be just like Will Anderson, right? They're going to have him as that outside linebacker testing in the draft. But on MFL, he's going to be, just like you said, he's going to be a defensive end. He's going to be a linebacker. And I guess it just depends on what format you're playing, right, and how they got him set up. I don't know what he'll be on Sleeper either. I don't really play there either. So, for NFL purposes, it didn't worry me at all that he's over.
Yeah, he'll be a defensive end.
Yeah. We touched on it earlier. college football playoff model has been approved of 5-7. So you're going to get the 5 conference champs, and then you're going to have basically 7 at large, or the next 7 highest ranked teams, I guess it is. The SEC and the Big Ten pushed to get 8 automatic bids just for themselves. So they wanted 4 SEC, they wanted 4 Big Ten. Yeah, of course they did. The rich get even greedier, right? Unfortunately, that didn't quite take. So they went with the 5-7, the 5 conference champs, and then your next 7 teams, which still allows for your smaller schools, smaller teams, conferences, what have you. It still gives them a fighting chance, and that's what everybody's been clamoring for, right? Don't exclude them. So while it's a tough one, they still have the opportunity. And this is kicking off this year, and already right away that there's rumors and banter in the air that this is going to change. Because the college football playoff committee is also discussing a potential 14-team bracket for 2026 and beyond. I saw something the other day that if that happens, then the SEC and Big Ten would likely get 3.
3 apiece.
3 apiece, 3 automatics, which in 14 teams, that's 6. That's almost
3 apiece. That leaves 3 other. So that's 9. So that would be 5 at larges, I guess.
Yep, 5 at larges. Now, I don't know if they're going to try to move that around. That's just the early rumors and from what I've been seeing. I'm good with the 12. I don't really agree with how the 12 is set up per se, but I'm good with it. It's more teams. It's more games, right? I think instead of doing all this, they really should have just went to 16. They should have been like all the other divisions, had a 16-team playoff, and been done with. Because I think for me, after 12, is it really going to matter? Are you truly a contender if you're 14, 15, or 16 in this thing? If you're one of the teams on the outside looking in, now they'll always be, well, we deserve to be in the 12th. That's just part of it. Then the numbers,
well, don't matter.
Never going
right?
to matter. You're going to have teams argue.
That first team's out is going to argue, right? The first couple of teams.
Yeah. And it's never going to change. And that's part of the fun, I guess, of this whole thing. But 12 teams, I think that's right. I don't know what a 14 team would look like, because right now you've got 4 buys, and then the other 8 teams play the first week, and then you bring in those 4 winners to play the 4 on a bye. I don't know how you would do
it. In the 14, only 2 teams get buys, I think.
So 14, so that would leave your other 12.
So it'd be 6 games,
so who would,
or 6 winners, right. And then you add the 2 buys in for 8.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, so that does make sense. I was wondering how they would do that. But yeah, if that's the case, then yeah. But here we are. We've got our playoff that we wanted, you know, pretty much 12 teams, and they're already thinking about changing it in 2 years. So
it's all about the money, man. Sure. It's all really matters.
No, anyway. No. They don't care about money, Justice. No. They are listening to their fans and giving us what we want. That's what they're focused on. speaking of agreements and changes, ESPN and the College Football Playoff agree on a 6-year extension worth $7.8 billion. I retract my former statement that they didn't care about money. As clearly they do. But yeah, the ESPN's got that locked up for the next 6 years. Getting into some football stuff here, the LSU Tigers, and I'm curious to see your thoughts on this. LSU Tigers are planning to play Harold Perkins as an inside linebacker.
Well, they did that last year.
I want to ask about it. They did do that last year, but this year, my understanding is it's going to be more of a full-time role? Like, that's going to be his position?
I don't know, with
the reason being they wanted him around the ball more. So maybe with him being on as an edge, right, where he normally plays, maybe teams are scheming away, running away from him. Maybe they're thinking as well, if we put him in the middle of the defense, he can kind of go unilaterally either way, right? So I'm not hating it, but I think it hurts his value for fantasy, right? If he goes to linebacker, that kind of hurts. I mean, maybe not in college, but if you're looking at the NFL, if that's where he winds up, I would rather have him as a defensive end as a linebacker.
Well, I don't know that he'll ever be an edge. He doesn't have the weight. Like, he's been in college 2 years now and still only weighs 220.
Yeah, he's kind of thin.
So he can't play edge at the NFL level. I don't really care.
Not if he really boosted up.
He'd have to really, like, yes, he'd have to add a lot of weight. And that's kind of like, so, you know, he played inside linebacker last year. The big difference between last year and the year before was, number one, he played a lot more coverage last year. And he did a lot less pass rushing compared to his freshman year. I'm not really concerned about them saying that he's going to play inside linebacker. It's really, in my opinion, like it's how he's going to be utilized, what interests me more, right? Is he going to be utilizing coverage more? Is he going to be utilized as a pass rusher more? Is he going to be like the true middle linebacker where he's supposed to be racking up the tackles? Because I'll tell you, like, he's not that great at that. That's not like, you know, that's probably the worst part of his game is run defense and tackling, I feel like, you know. I feel like the best part is rushing the passer and coverage. And he's good at coverage, I feel like. But, you know, kind of being that, you know, enforcer, if you will, in the middle in terms of run defense, that's not what he's good at. And I don't know, like, if I owned Harold Perkins today, I'm probably going to try and sell him for, if I can get like a decent offensive piece. I think Perkins still has a lot of name value. I would try to move him because the whole weight thing really concerns me. Like, in terms of, you know, he can't play edge at 220 pounds. The fact that he hasn't really added on a ton of weight, you know, or in much weight since he started school, that's concerning. And so, like, you look at his what you think he can be in the NFL. I certainly think he's going to get drafted. I certainly, you know, can see him playing a linebacker role, but he's never going to be that guy that's sitting there eating up tackles, right? And you know, he's not going to be big enough to be an edge. So from a fantasy perspective, I think I'd be selling Harold Perkins, you know, as long as I could get some kind of value for him, which I think you still can. And a lot of people were, you know, his probably high point was after his freshman year there. You know, he came away with all that buzz. That kind of was, I feel like that was his, like, high value point to this point anyway. You saw the dip in production last year with the sacks and all that, but that's because he was used differently. Like I said, he was used more in a coverage role and not as much, you know, in a pass rushing role. So lots of people have talked about these concerns with him. And to me, I'm not overly concerned that he's going to be an inside linebacker. I'm just more concerned how they're going to utilize him, because that's going to, you know, directly impact his stats. And then my overarching concern is what, you know, his NFL future looks like. And for me, from a fantasy perspective, I just don't know at this point that I'm high on his NFL potential from a fantasy perspective. Some other news, former four-star number five edge in the 2020 class, defensive end Savelle Smalls at Colorado. He transferred to Colorado from Washington State. He is moving over to tight end from defensive end. So if you were someone that was still holding on to Smalls, it's definitely time to cut bait at this point. I don't know. I think Brock said it best in our group chat. If you can't play defense for Colorado, how bad do you have to be, right?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty telling, especially with all the needs that they have. That's kind of telling, yeah, for sure. Ohio State self-reported 4 minor violations to the Big Ten and the NCAA. They were transfer portal and recruiting related. The one in the transfer portal was kind of a, I don't know. Some of these things seem insignificant and harmless, right? And I think that's kind of what this was. Apparently, a kid wanted to hit the portal, announce, you know, like social media stuff, hey, I'm hitting the portal. And apparently Ohio State, one of their coaches was interested and reached out to him and was like, hey, man, you know how they do, you know, come to Ohio State or whatever. And then it was brought to his attention that he wasn't in the portal. So that's an infraction. You can't talk to another athlete at another school if he's not in the portal, and he wasn't officially in the portal. So they self-reported that. And then the other was just, I think it was something similar, insignificant in the recruiting. But they had 4 of them, so they reported those. Slap on the wrist stuff. EA Sports revealed that they have a safeguard in place now preventing gamers from manually adding players who opt out of the game. So, like, Caleb Williams is not going to be in the game. Apparently, they have some kind of safeguard now that you're not going to be able to go in there and manually add to him.
Well, yes and no, right? So, like, you know, so maybe his name isn't Caleb Williams. Maybe his name is Kale Williams. Like, there's gotta be ways around it, right? Like, unless they just remove all the player ability.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of, once I started thinking about, which I'm sure it's money related, but maybe this is another piece for EA Sports, right? Another way for them to make money, because they're going to give players who opt in, they're going to give them $600, right? Which I know sounds kind of small potatoes, but they have 10,000 players already on board. So if you do the math, that's a lot of money they got to pay out to have these players' NIL names, you know, the whole thing on there. So I get that part. And they get a copy of the game, which is, I heard somebody say the other day that there's going to be probably different variations of this game. You'll have a base game that's probably like, I don't know, what games are, what, 60, 70 bucks an hour, or yeah, are they more than that? Yeah.
Yeah, like 60 bucks.
So. You'll have a base of the game, everybody that's in there or whatever, and then look for them to maybe come out with like an upgrade or something, you know, here's a level 2 of the game, we've got these players now or whatever. So I'm sure it's all a money racket.
Yeah.
And then our last piece of news is former Texas A&M, I know this is not defensive related, but I found it interesting. Former Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel says his father and Texas A&M had a secret deal worth $3 million that would allow Johnny to, and Johnny would stay in Texas A&M. In other words, he wouldn't turn pro. He wouldn't go anywhere else. He would stay there for 2 years. And Texas A&M they backed out of it or didn't want to do it or whatever. I thought that was really interesting. Because Johnny was like, I was ready to stay. This was in place and it didn't happen. If you think about it, $3 million is like, oh, wow, $3 million. But for 2 years, that's $1.5 million. For a player of his caliber at that time, what he was doing with Texas A&M, if you're Texas A&M, you would have had to give that up, I would imagine. God. Especially hindsight, knowing what we know now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think so.
But yeah, he admitted, he's like, yeah, he said, I knew nothing of it until it was done. He said, my dad came to me and said, hey, would you be willing to stay in college for two more years with the Aggies if they give us this? And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah. And for whatever reason, they just, I guess with the whole money deal and everything, it didn't work out. But the whole point of this is they was talking about kids like Nico getting $8 million and all these kids coming in. You know, Bryce Young had the big contract when he was there. And that seems like small potatoes compared to what these kids are getting now. So just thought that was a little interesting. So we're done with our news and notes. It's been a busy week. We want to thank our sponsors, NFL. We talked about them earlier. Fully customizable. You know, anything you want to do, they allow you to do it on their format. I'm a big believer. You get what you pay for, right? You can go to Sleeper or some of these others that are free, but they're not fully as customizable or able to change things like you can with NFL. And they are kind enough to sponsor our leagues and let us play for free. So we don't have to charge our listeners any fees. So that's cool. They work it out with us and we appreciate their support. We back their product. So, we thank them. And we also want to thank Trophy Smack because they sponsor our listener leagues with rings for our winners. So you've seen me and Justice show them off before. High quality rings, made well, feel well, look great. They've got a bling ring that I just showed you. When the light hits it, it sparkles. They've got another one that's just a fantasy league ring. It's got the blue insert and says fantasy football on it. So they donate those to our listening league winners. We thank them for that. But if you need something for your personal league, they've got it all. They've got trophies, they've got plaques, they've got rings, they've got belts. They've even got stuff for losers now. Yeah, those belts are amazing. I wish they would donate some belts to us. That would be
completely badass. But yeah. Speaking of having stuff for losers, lately I've seen this a lot. And I'm glad, I couldn't tell you the last time I lost, like I was last place in a fantasy league, but on my Twitter feed, I've seen this a lot where the guy that was last place has to spend 24 hours in Waffle House. And then for every pancake he eats or waffle that he eats, he gets to reduce it by an hour. Have you seen that? Like, I've probably seen it like three or four times in the last couple of weeks.
I have, and I would destroy that if I finished last because I'm a fat boy and I can eat, so I wouldn't be there very long.
I think the one I saw yesterday was the guy had been there 6 hours and he had eaten 15 waffles or 15 pancakes. So he had already reduced his time to, I guess, 9 hours. So he only had 3 hours left to go anyway. So,
hey, I can eat some pancakes, so I don't think I'd be there very long. Yeah,
I don't know.
Anything that's public humiliation, I love. I love that. They've got things that say, I suck at fantasy football, and they've got the toilet seat, and they've got all kinds of things at Trophy Smack. But, yeah, that seems to be the new loser challenge or whatever you call it. I don't know what the penalty is if you don't ever eat your allotted amount of pancakes.
You got to stay there for 24 hours.
Huh.
So yeah, I don't know.
That kind of easy because at some point you're going to get hungry again. So
yeah, but still, man, like I don't know, like that's a lot of it's a lot of bread, a lot of carbs. I'm personally not a big waffle or pancake eater to begin with. So
me either, but I think I could do it. But in that case, I would just take my laptop and my phone and I'd just pick a corner of the place and say, hey, you know. I'm going to set up shop over here.
Yeah.
Write some articles, do a podcast or two, live from IHOP.
Well, you get there early. You can say you get there like at 6 a.m. And, you know, you eat your 15 pancakes or whatever, then you're out of there by like 3 p.m. So,
Yeah. The crazy challenges they have. So we thank them. We also want to say if you're into energy drinks, go over to W.com. Use our promo code IDPNation. And this stuff is so good. It's like a powder mix, like water packets, but it has no sugar. It's all healthy stuff. Great pick-me-up. Doesn't give you the crashes like canned energy drinks and stuff does. So go over there and check them out. So our five-star, we're doing coaching changes, transfer portal moves for the AAC. Up first, some of these didn't have coaching changes, so we'll run through these, I guess, fairly quick. But Florida International Panthers is first. And sorry, this is Conference USA, not AAC. Sorry. Florida International's first. They got rid of their cornerbacks coach, DeMarcus Van Dyke, and they brought in a defensive outside linebacker coach, Kaneki Udeze. So just some small moves for them on the coaching front.
Player-wise, they're losing defensive lineman Jordan Garrard to Louisville. Their do-everything linebacker from last year, Donovan Manuel, is out of eligibility. Linebacker Avery Huff is going over to Louisiana Tech. And safety Deverick Daniel is out of eligibility. There's no one really of note that they're bringing in from the transfer portal. Their second leading tackler, linebacker Reggie Peterson, does return. He had 89 total tackles last year. Manuel had 98 total tackles. They lose, like I said, Deverick Daniel, their third leading tackler at 57. So your natural inclination is to think that, hey, you know, Reggie Peterson will step up and kind of take over that leading linebacker role. I don't think there's really anyone else here of much interest other than Reggie Peterson.
All right. Yeah, they're going to miss Manuel. He actually came over from ETSU to them. He transferred. So they're definitely going to miss him. Big-time tackler. Jacksonville State Gamecocks are next. I believe they moved up last year, right? Last year was their first year.
Last year was their first year in FBS.
Yep. So they are switching defensive coordinators out. Zach Alley is out, and they're bringing in Luke Olson.
Did he go to Alabama?
I think so. I think so. So with his move, they brought in Luke Olson to fill his spot. And they also brought in a safety coach, Brandon Napoleon.
Yeah, and they from a G5 perspective, they were one of the better G5 defenses last year. They played really well as a unit, and they definitely had a few fantasy worthy players for to help out your college squads. But they do lose a little bit there on the defensive side. Defensive lineman Kamari Stevens is in the transfer portal. Their leading tackler, linebacker Quay Drake, is out of eligibility. Their kind of hybrid guy, linebacker safety Colby Fuqua, is out of eligibility. And safety Jeremiah Harris is out of eligibility. So they're losing three of their top four tacklers. Quay Drake was their leading tackler with 92 tackles. Colby Fuqua had 86, and Jeremiah Harris had 65. Their top returning tackler is safety Fred Perry, who was a freshman last year. He returns with 75 tackles. And then defensive lineman, his name escapes me, that played really well for them last year. He returns too. Chris Hardy. Chris Hardy, he returns.
Oh, yeah.
He had a decent year last year for him. Linebacker Larry Worth returns. Linebacker Letitia Hell also returns. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely kind of something to pay attention to in the spring practice here and kind of see who kind of steps up in the Quay Drake and the Colby Fuqua roles. The Colby Fuqua role, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely going to miss those two.
He had, I think he had dual eligibility, linebacker and defensive back last year. So kind of be interested in seeing who steps into that role and if they have that dual eligibility for Jacksonville State this coming year.
Yeah, they're definitely going to miss Drake and Fuqua because that was two of their – and Harris, but Drake and Fuqua was two of their better players. I've actually got Larry Worth in a couple places, so I kind of like that for him. Maybe a bigger opportunity for him to step up. And then, the Hardy guy, he's a pretty good edge rusher for them too. So, speaking of newcomers moving up, Kennesaw State moved up this year or is moving up this year as they join the Conference USA. They didn't have a whole lot of changes either. They did have one leaving. Their defensive end coach, Davern Williams, left. At this time, I've not seen who they're replacing him with or any other changes that they've made. So just losing Williams right now at the moment.
And if you're not familiar with Kennesaw State, I did watch I watched one of their games recently. I think it was them. It was Furman. They played Furman. I just kind of wanted to watch, kind of get a feel for them. And I was really mostly watching for the offensive side of the ball. Because, you know, like I'd always heard they ran a triple option. But I really wouldn't just – I mean, maybe they do as a triple option, but it's like when I hear the words triple option and what I saw them running, they don't mesh. They don't jive. They pass the ball quite a bit. Do they have some triple option, like, elements to their offense? Yeah, I mean, the fullback dive, the jet sweeps, those kinds of things. But, like, I wouldn't really – like – if people tell you they run a triple option and you watch them and you're expecting to watch Navy, like it's not, no, that's, it's not that. It's right. Not the same. You know, no one really stood out to me from defense. The one game that I did watch, you go back and look at their stats. There really isn't anybody like that. That I feel like is worth rostering. They do lose defensive back Markeith Montgore is out of eligibility. Safety DeAndre Morris is off to Georgia Southern. Safety Chance Gamble is off to Georgia Southern. They do bring in a linebacker from South Carolina, Donovan Westmoreland. Maybe, you know, that's someone to kind of keep an eye on, so to speak. But their leading tackler last season had 48 total tackles. He's transferring out. That's DeAndre Morris. And then their second leading tackler had 46 tackles, and he's out of eligibility. So, yeah, there's nothing there from a fantasy standpoint that, you know, screams, hey, let me go roster this guy. Their leading sacks guys were, you know, 2.5 sacks, so. Nothing really here in terms of your fantasy leagues where you'd be looking at anybody from Kennesaw State at this point.
Right. The next team is the Liberty Flames. They had no coaching changes, so they stood pat for now.
Now they did. They just had their spring game yesterday, or I'm sorry, Saturday. So they just wrapped up spring practice. They're one of the teams, them in Hawaii, kind of like first out of the gate, so to speak, this year. They do lose a lot on that defense. Defensive lineman Kendi Charles is off to Duke. Their leading tackler, linebacker Tyron Dupree, is out of eligibility. Defensive back Brandon Bishop is out of eligibility. Safety Preston Hodge is off to Colorado. They do bring some guys in, though. They bring in Elijah Hall, a defensive lineman transferring over from Wake Forest, linebacker Aiden Vaughn coming over from Wisconsin, and linebacker Taylor Jackson coming over from East Carolina. They lose their top tackler, who was a fantasy asset last year, as Tyron Dupree, linebacker. He led them last season with 116 tackles. After that, like, there wasn't anyone else you were rostering. The second leading tackler was 58. They do return their third leading tackler, Joseph Carter, linebacker. He had 55 tackles last season. So I think it'd be interesting to see kind of who takes over that Tyron Dupree role. Does Joseph Carter, who's been there, does he inherit that? Does Taylor Jackson, coming over from East Carolina, take that over, or Aiden Vaughn? Hopefully we can get some information out of Liberty on that front in terms of who they expect maybe kind of would take over that leading linebacker role. But yeah, I mean, other than that, there really isn't anything really worth mentioning here at Liberty at this point.
Right. Next is Louisiana Tech is next up on our list. I started to say Louisiana for some reason. But anyway, they did have a few changes. So they changed out defensive coordinators. Scott Power is gone, and they're bringing in Jeremiah Johnson. And then they let defensive backs coaches Miles Kerlock and Nate Johnson go. And in their place, they're bringing in Keelon Brookings to coach the corners. And then they're going to bring in Jeff Burris to coach the safety. So if I'm not mistaken, he spent a cup of coffee in the NFL, Burris did. So that should be beneficial to those kids just to have that kind of knowledge, right, of what it takes to get there. So I think that'll be a nice move for them.
And from a player's perspective on the defense, they're losing a lot of production from last season. Leading linebacker Brevin Randall is off to UTSA. Linebacker Justford Boateng is out of eligibility. Safety Miles Hurd is out of eligibility. Defensive back Cecil Singleton, the junior, is out of eligibility. They've lost their top four leading tacklers from a year ago. So they got a lot of replacement to do there. Coming in, defensive lineman Keenan Landry, coming over from Florida. Linebacker Sifalioto, coming over from North Texas. Linebacker Makai Mason, coming from Syracuse. Linebacker Jamarcus Jones from UAB. Linebacker Caden Hawkins, Wyoming. Linebacker Avery Huff, mentioned earlier, coming over from Florida International. Safety Blake Thompson, coming over from Iowa State. And safety Jordan Morgan, coming over from UNLV. So, I mean, it's kind of clear, like, linebacker's an issue for them. They're bringing in a ton of guys. They do return. Their top returning tackler is Zach Zemos, linebacker, at 60 total tackles last year. They just got so much turnover there. I think it's kind of a wait and see approach. Kind of, after the first couple of games, maybe it'll shake out who their tackle guys are going to be. I'd say last year they kind of had two options, to offer you some college production, and that was linebacker Jesser Lord Boateng, who had 93 total tackles, and then defensive back Miles Hurd, who had 88 total tackles last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, there's no one here that I would say, hey, go look at this guy, because there's so many moving parts. They're bringing in so many pieces. I think this is a team you're going to need to, see a game or two before you can kind of say, hey, who is there anyone worth adding to my roster from a college production standpoint?
Right. And maybe that's Zemos just because he's been there. So he may have another year. I was looking at him because he's really only played 2 years. He didn't play any as a freshman, didn't play any as a sophomore. Of course, his freshman year, that was the COVID year, right? So he's got that in his pocket. I wonder if he was redshirted in 2021, his sophomore season. So if that's the case, he's essentially got another year, I believe, that he could play. So he's right.
Yeah.
Because he had the COVID year, and then if they redshirted him, he would have this year and next year. So maybe that's somebody that you look at, because he had, you know, he played in 12 games for Louisiana Tech, 60 tackles, 3.5 for a loss, 1 sack. Not eye-wowing, but with what they're losing, maybe it's his opportunity to kind of step up and fill that role. So you was talking about him being the leading tackler. That maybe that's somebody you look at. I mean, with them bringing in so many players, you're right. You're probably going to have to give it a couple of weeks to see how it shakes out. My screen just went blank. Up next is on our list will be Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders. this should make a lot of fans in that area happy. So they got Rick Stockstill is gone, their head coach, and they're bringing in Derek Mason. And if that sounds familiar, yes, that's the Derek Mason that was at Vandy and went to Penn State. And he's back. He's back in Middle Tennessee because he knows everybody loves him there. So, but he's a pretty good coach. I think that's kind of what they need, right? Because I kind of felt like the SEC was a little bit too much for Mason. Well, not too much for him, but he had a bad team. So,
well, I mean, that's just Vanderbilt, right? I mean,
true.
Whoever coaches Vanderbilt,
my point being, you know, yes, they are, which is Charles Lee right now. But anyway, so I think being in Middle Tennessee, this will help Derek Mason because I think that's kind of – the team's not horrible, right? The competition, he's not trying to face Alabama and Georgia every year and Tennessee's and all those. He's with a team in a conference that kind of suits him, right? So I could see him doing well there. Anytime you have a head coaching change, naturally you're going to have a lot of changes behind you. They're bringing in Brian Stewart to be the defensive coordinator. Secondaries coach is going to be Bryce Lewis. Linebacker coach is going to be A.J. Rizig. And defensive line coach is going to be Vernon Hargrave. So Hargrave spent a cup of coffee in the NFL as well. So looks like once he got the job, he being Mason, he filled his coaching staff out pretty quickly.
Well, and you know, as you said, with the coaching change, you have a lot of coaching changes, and generally you have a lot of player personnel changes. And Middle Tennessee, they might lose more than Louisiana Tech on the defensive side. They certainly aren't bringing a ton back in at this point. They lose defensive lineman Zaylen Wood going over to Vanderbilt. Defensive lineman Marley Cook over to Miami of Florida. Edge Quandarius Dunnigan to Michigan State. Linebacker Sam Brumfield to Virginia Tech. Safety Jacoby Thomas going over to visit Hollywood there in Tennessee. Safety Trey Flewellen out of eligibility. Safety Teldrick Ross out of eligibility. They lose 5 of their top 7 tacklers, including their top 3 tacklers. They lose a ton. Their top returner is linebacker Parker Hughes, who last season had 53 tackles. Traditionally, I'd say, you know, last year probably Trey Flewellen and Teldrick Ross were at least rostered going into the season. They didn't kind of have the tackle numbers that they had the year before. So not sure they made that you carried them on your roster all year, but those were the two guys probably that were rostered, you know, in the beginning of the season anyway. Linebacker Sam Brumfield was their leading tackler last year, 82 tackles. And then the safety Jacoby Thomas, who's over off to play for the Tennessee Vols, was second at 71. Parker Hughes might be someone I put on my watch list, but definitely not somebody that I'm going out to add right away. in terms of who's coming in for the transfer portal, really the only one of note so far is defensive lineman Felix Hickson coming over from South Carolina.
I would pay attention to their safety group, whoever they've got coming in, because losing Fluellen and
Thomas
losing Ross is really going to hurt, right? Especially Fluellen. I think Fluellen hurts more than anything, because like you said, that was a name that we heard in IDP fantasy circles, you know, Davy circles. 64 tackles, 41 solos, so he had a high solo rate, and he had 3 interceptions too, so he was kind of their do-it-all player back there. So with their top 2 safeties gone, I have to imagine somebody's got to fill that role. So I have to imagine there's pretty good production available there for somebody. So I would kind of watch that and just kind of see who it is. Maybe if you're in that area and you watch the spring games, you can kind of find out before the rest of us. But
yeah, I mean, the only other
that safeties, would be a position I would watch just to see, because
their top returning safety is Marve Myers, who had 18 tackles last year.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's a position that for them, they're traditionally pretty strong at safety. They've produced some pretty good safeties over the years.
Yeah, so that's where Reed Blake came from.
Keep an eye on that. Yep, and Kevin Byard and all those guys. That's a pretty good spot to watch for a safety that usually produces well, because usually they're on the field a lot. So, next up is New Mexico State Aggies. They had a lot of coaching changes, as we all know. Head coach Jerry Keel is out. Nate Drilling, the DC, is out. The cornerback coach Cliff Odom is out. Safety coach Melvin Rice and defensive line Chuka Nulule, they're all gone. Coming in is going to be new head coach Tony Sanchez. And defensively for him, he's going to have Joe Morris as his defensive coordinator. He's going to have Jalen Ortiz as his cornerback coach. And then he's going to have safety coach Henry Fernandez. So complete overhaul for them too.
Kind of continuing the theme, and I feel like he's gotten progressively worse. Like Louisiana Tech lost a lot, Middle Tennessee State lost more. Well, New Mexico State, like they take the cake in terms of losing defensive production. it's a mess. They edged Nikhil Webb Walkers off to Colorado, defensive lineman Sterling Webb to Missouri. Defensive lineman Deion Williams Wilson Jr. to Syracuse. Linebacker Keyshawn Elliott to Arizona State. Linebacker Jamari Budden is in the portal. Safety Miles Rouser, Arizona State. Safety Makai Miller is off to Cincinnati. They lose 6 of their top 7 tacklers from a year ago. They do bring in linebacker Avery Morris coming over from UTSA. Safety Josiah Cox coming from Arizona State, and safety Nick Session coming over from Oklahoma State. Their top returners were 2 linebackers. Gabe Peterson, he was their 6th leading tackler last year with 55 tackles. And then linebacker Sony Apui, linebacker, was their 8th leading tackler at 47 tackles. So, they got a lot to have to replace on this defense. From a fantasy perspective, I would imagine the only guy that was probably rostered, or he may not have been either, but he did have a 100 tackle season, was Keyshawn Elliott, the linebacker. He had 110 tackles last year. This is a team that I think, you know, I really want to pay attention to, especially the first couple of weeks, because, you know, we just talked about how much they lost on defense. They lost every bit as if not more on offense. So, you know, the recipe is for a bad team is there, right? And when you have a bad team, especially a bad team on offense, what does that mean? lots of opportunity for defense, right? The defense is on the field a lot. Lots of potential opportunity there. So this is definitely, I think, a defense you want to pay attention to the first couple weeks to kind of see who's standing out as far as the high tackle guy, because they can certainly have a lot of opportunity this year with the defense being on the field so much because of all the losses. I mean, they've lost production everywhere, but, you know, as bad as the defense was in terms of losses, the offense is right there too. So,
right, and looking at the two guys that you had mentioned returning, Gabe Peterson and Sone Apui, I think it's how you say it. I don't think they're inside linebacker types. They're more the edge, right? Because Peterson had bad. 8 TFLs and 3.5 sacks, and. Yeah, and then Sone had 6.5 TFLs, 2 sacks. So I think they're more of your outside linebacker, edge type player. So I don't think either one of them would move in. So I would be curious. Somebody has to fill the role of Kayshon Elliott, 111 tackles. That's a lot of tackles to try to replace. So I think whoever gets in that role would be somebody that I would consider maybe rostering, because the volume's going to be there. That team's probably – like you said, with all the turnover, they're probably not going to be that great, I would imagine. So I would – that's a position. I think, Sal, you were talking about your question, what are some, teams or positions, open roles that you called it. You said, what are some open roles on IDP? I think that's one, right? I think you have to look there just because of the volume and all the turnover to see. So I think that's one worth keeping an eye on. This next one, do we have to read it? Because it breaks my heart. The Sam Houston Bearcats, they have no coaching changes. They've not had any coaching changes for a while. They're pretty well a machine down there. They've been a good team in Division II. They're trying to make their way in Division I. I think they'll get there if they can get some of the players. And they've had some really good players, Justice. We've seen. I'll let you read it, because this guy being out of eligibility, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, and both of the big guys that they're losing are two guys that we've interviewed. So the first being their, you know, all conference linebacker, Trevor Williams. He's unfortunately out of eligibility. Yep. He was their leading tackler last season with 114 tackles. And they also lose one of their best edge guys, and Markel Perry. He is also out of eligibility. He had 18 pressures and 30 tackles a year ago. So, you know, they're going to have to replace those two. That's probably the two biggest losses on that defense. As far as who's coming in, they're bringing over defensive lineman Dylan Frazier, coming over from SMU. They do return their second leading tackler, Kaven Gaither, who last season had 62 tackles. He returns. Maybe he's going to be the guy to kind of step into that Trevor Williams role. Isaiah Nixon, Sincere Jackson, those are two other linebackers that return as well. So, yeah, I mean – very sad to see Trevor.
I think he. Yeah, it's sad to see him go, but I think you're right. I think Kaven Gaither could be the guy, right? 72 tackles, 5 for a loss. He had the interception. He returned for a touchdown, forces fumbles, has a sack or two. So I think he could be the next guy up, and kind of. Just like what we said with New Mexico State, right? But Trevor Williams being gone, that's a lot of production that you have to replace. So whoever gets that opportunity, I think they're worth taking a look at as far as rostering for your IDP Davy teams. Next up, we have the UTEP Miners. Head coach Dana Dimmel is gone. Kind of like we said, a recurring theme here. Once you replace your head coach, everything kind of falls behind it, right? All your assistants, you've got players in the portal. It just, it's once the head coach leaves, it's tough. I mean, we've even seen it at Alabama, right? With Saban leaving, even though they got a great coach, I think, in DeBoer, man, this is that's a tough risk, right? Because what happened?
As soon as Saban left,
they lost the best player in the country. Right, right. You lose the best player in the country in Caleb Downs. So anytime you make a head coaching change, it doesn't care if you're the number one team in the country or if you're a bottom feeder team. It has a major impact when that happens. So anyway, back here, they're losing UTEP, that is, they're losing Dana Dimmel. So in his place, they're bringing in Scotty Walden to be the head man. And on his defense, he's going to have J.J. Clark as his defensive coordinator. He's going to have Aaron Foster as his cornerbacks coach. He's going to have Seth McDonald as his bandits coach. Chris Jones as his defensive line coach. And then his co-defensive coordinator and safety coach is going to be Kelvin Sigler. You know, I'm seeing a lot more of this when we're digging into these coaching changes. It seems like a lot of these teams has this special position, right? Bandit, Rover, Rocket, you know, NASCAR, they've all seemed to have that one little position. And it's kind of like, is he a linebacker? Is he an edge? Is he a defensive back? But it's, to me, it's kind of like maybe putting a player that you normally wouldn't have a spot for, right? He's a good player, but where do you play? So you put him in this special position and just kind of let him roam and do whatever. So,
yeah, again, not quite as bad as some of these other schools. They do lose quite a bit. Linebacker Tyrese Knight, who we just saw this past week or past weekend at the Combine, he is off to the NFL, their leading tackler from a year ago. Their second leading tackler, James Neal, he is over to Texas State. Safety Kobe Hilton is off to Oklahoma State. That's their top three tacklers right there gone. Who is coming back? Linebacker who is coming in from the transfer portal? Linebacker Dylan Brown Turner coming over from Florida State. Linebacker Dorian Hopkins from Tulsa. Safety Xavier Smith following his coaching staff over from Austin Peay. And safety Dylan Williams coming over from North Texas. Their top returning tackler is a defensive end, Maurice Westman, with 34 tackles. Dorian Hopkins, who I said transfers in, he had 45 tackles last year. They got a lot of tackles to replace, a lot of production to replace. For that defense, so. In the past, it's been, you know, Tyrese Knight. It's been, you know, both of their leading tacklers. Linebacker positions have been, you know, somewhat rosterable. This past year, James Neal didn't have the season he did a year ago. But I want to say 2 years ago, they both were, I think, 100 tackles. But now it is a different system, right, with new coaches and all that. But definitely something I think to at least pay attention to. As we kind of move into the beginning of the season there to kind of see, hey, you know, is there another Tyrese Knight on here? You know, looking at the paper, you know, looking, maybe that's going to be Dorian Hopkins. I don't know, but you know, I'm not going and drafting any of these guys at this point. It's kind of, you know, with a lot of these teams, it's kind of a wait and see approach, especially these teams on the G5 level.
Yeah. You mentioned Maurice Westmoreland, the edge for them. I think he would be one that maybe I'd take a note of. Not going to give you a lot of tackle numbers, right? 37 tackles, but he had 10.5 TFLs. and 7.5 sacks for him last year and 3 PBUs. So as far as an edge, maybe he's somebody I kind of jot down and see how he goes, see how it's going for him, because they're going to need some help. And that if he can step up and continue that pass rush, that'll help them a lot. But yeah, not really anybody I'm drafting. I don't know if you do it the same way I do, but in Devy, I just kind of keep a list, you know, of names that I think, hey, actually I do it in two parts. I have one side that I like, hey, this is Westmoreland, I might need to keep an eye on him. And then on the other side, I've got another list on the other side that's players that I might cut, right? Like he's not had the year that we thought, or, you know, there's an injury or whatever. Maybe there's a coaching change that we don't like. So I just kind of look at them different ways there. And then our last team is going to be the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. And they had 0 changes to their coaching staff.
And they don't have, they don't have a ton of changes along the defensive line. I mean, the defense, they lose safety Kendrick Simpkins over to Baylor, safety Talik Allen. He's in the portal. That is their top 2 tacklers that's gone. They are bringing in safety DeMarco Williams coming over from Ole Miss. One player that did transfer out that may have been rostered. He didn't have a great season last year, but 2 years ago he did, was Jacques Evans, kind of that, you know, outside linebacker edge guy for them. He's also transferred out. Other than him, I mean, none of these guys last year had, you know, reason to be rostering them. Their leading tackle, like I said, Kendrick Simpkins, who's transferred out, he had 50 total tackles a year ago. So, yeah, there's nothing here, you know, that really interests me. Their team, from a fantasy perspective, that you're much more interested in their offensive production than defense traditionally. Other than, like I said, Jacques Evans maybe 2 years ago,
right?
There really wasn't anybody you were really, really rostering from them. Maybe, was it Khalif?
I think D'Angelo Malone was one from a few years ago.
That was a while back. Khalif Halasi maybe was someone 2 years ago too, who had a decent year. He had a lot of interceptions 2 years ago. But generally speaking, you're not looking to Western Kentucky to give you fantasy production on the defensive side.
Right. Don't they have the, and he may be out of eligibility, the stout kid that plays corner.
What's his last name?
I could use his name, something stout. Stout. And I could be completely thinking Upton Stout.
He's their corner. Yes. Yep. He's still there. He had 24
so maybe tackles a year ago. Corner, you could look at him, but yeah. Not a high tackle guy, but he gets a lot of PBUs. Seems to make a lot of plays. Interceptions, forced fumbles, can score from anywhere. He had a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and he had an interception return for a touchdown. So big play guy if you're looking for a corner. And that does it for Conference USA. We do have a listener question here from Sal. We kind of touched on it a minute ago, and he's like, he wants to know what our top 5 open roles in IDP on the college side that are fantasy gold that we should be looking to try and find out who the replacement is. So we mentioned some tacklers, heavy tacklers, Trevor Williams, that's gone from Sam Houston, whoever takes over for him. I would keep an eye on that. You mentioned it earlier, Alabama. I'd keep an eye on everything there, right?
Yeah, Alabama.
Especially safety with Caleb Downs being gone.
They lose the safety, Caleb Downs. They lose their 2 edge rushers and Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell.
Yeah. So
those are kind of 2. Penn State loses their top 2 pass rushers with Chop Robinson and Adisa Isaac.
Yes.
We mentioned, I guess, the last show that Abdul Carter is moving a defensive end. So that's another one.
Right.
Just trying to think of other ones off the top of my head.
Yeah, their linebacker group is definitely going to look different. Tennessee, they're losing Aaron Beasley, right? And Keenan Peely is back for another year, but he's coming off of an injury, and this is his last year of eligibility. So the leader in the clubhouse should be Arian Carter. He should be who I think takes over for Beasley, and he's cut from the same mold that James Spears is, right? Super young, super talented, should see a ton of volume. Tennessee's secondary just got dismantled because players being out of eligibility, players transferring. So there's going to be a lot of turnover for us in the secondary. I'd pay a close attention to the spring game and early on in the season to see who the starters are going to be, because they're probably going to put up some pretty good numbers for you. I'm trying to think of somebody else right off.
Ohio State linebackers, they lose Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers. So do we finally – is it C.J. Hicks? Do we finally get to see something from C.J. Hicks or
– Maybe. I mean, because they've got two stud defensive ends that I'm kind of shocked both of them returned, and Jui Tuilomalo and Jack Sawyer. So they've got two stud ends, so whoever's playing behind them is in for a huge volume. Right now, I know you got Caleb Downs back there on at safety now, but still, there's a lot. When you lose two starting linebackers, there's a lot of volume you got to cover up. So, I hope it's C.J. Hicks because I think I still have a share of him somewhere. I about have to think that he's the guy, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to give him a shot.
I feel like if he's not doing anything this year, you better be cutting bait because, you know, like. Yeah, he hasn't done anything at this point, and that room kind of cleared out. And so if he doesn't show you anything this year, you definitely time to cut bait.
Yeah, it's definitely a now or never, as you mentioned, with your top two tacklers gone. Man, is Cody Simon going too, or is he back?
Oh, I don't know. Hold on one second. Let me look.
Because if he's back, he's likely one of their starters because he played a lot for them last year. I don't know if he used his COVID year or not.
Looks like he does return.
So I would think he would be one of your starters, but there's still – you need somebody else. So I got to think it's Hicks.
I mean,
but he didn't do much last year. I mean, he played.
No, he played
13 games, but he only had 8 tackles. And
he is their next leading linebacker after Simon, that's returning.
So there you go. And I'm like you. I would, in those first couple of games, if I'm not seeing anything positive, I'm cutting bait. I'm moving him, cutting him something. Because you don't want to be hanging on to dead weight, pretty much. But
and it sucks because if you have Hicks, you paid a pretty penny for him because he was number one rated.
Yes, I did. I don't
number one rated linebacker in that class.
I need to check and see if I still have him. I think I still have him in one league, and if I remember correctly, you're right. I paid a pretty good penny for him. Michigan's going to be another team. New head coach. All those players drafted to the NFL. You had Keon Sabb, who left in the transfer portal. They've got a lot to replace, too. Yeah, I mean, I know they've got Josiah Stewart still.
Chris Jenkins, they lost him. They lose Junior Colson.
Yeah. Yep. So there's a lot there that they need to replace. I would just – same thing. I'd kind of watch to see how the spring games are going. And early on, those first couple of games is naturally for most teams, 80% of the teams, that's their get-right weeks, right? Weeks 1 and 2. Before you might have a few big time games, but most teams use that as a get right, get yourself in order, and let's go before we hit conference play and all these big time games. So definitely those first 2 weeks is something I would watch with these teams in question. I'm trying to think. UCLA will be another one. They lose Latu, they lose Mysol, they lose the Murphy boys at the edges. I think they're losing a safety, so there's going to be a lot of opportunities in UCLA, and they're going to have a new head coach with Foster. I think college football, from IDP Debbie's standpoint, it's going to look a lot different, right? Because we lost a lot of good players, and now you've got these coaching changes, which is forcing a lot of changes because players are moving and all that. So, I think if that's the way you want to look at it, and I'm talking to Sal, I guess I would kind of look at the teams that's had major coaching changes, right? Alabama, Michigan, UCLA. Then I'd kind of do like Justice said. I would look at teams like Ohio State, right? You're losing your top 2 linebackers. Some of these other teams that's losing, I would just kind of go through there and kind of make notes. If you don't see the player, I'd at least make the note, hey, need to watch this and see who it is that's going to step up. Same thing with Tennessee. Who, is it going to be Arian Carter? Is it going to be one of these other young kids that they got coming in? So it's kind of hard to say until you see it on the field, right? I mean, because we can all kind of guess. I mean, once these depth charts start getting set a little more, and I would imagine after the spring games coming up this month and next month, you'll start to see those trickle out being set or whatever. But some of these teams are going to have a hard job filling some of the production they lost.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be an interesting year. Can you know? One question I was asked, I'll phrase the question a different way. Is like, who's this year's Caleb Downs? Who's like, a top freshman? And I got to be honest with you, like, I don't see a Caleb Downs, right? I don't see someone that's gonna, get close to 100 tackles as a true freshman. I don't see that, but not to say it won't happen, but no one is screaming like Caleb Downs was last year, right? In terms of, hey, this guy has a great opportunity for. I mean, there are players I think that certainly have opportunity, but nothing is sitting there screaming at me like Caleb Downs was last year.
Yeah, and I think we all kind of said that. Me and you and Chop, right? Once we brought him up in our player breakdown, we all three kind of be like, yeah. This is the dude, and it all lined up that way, right? He's going to Alabama. He's playing for Saban. They have a need, right? They had just lost 2 of their top safeties to the draft in Helms and Jordan Battle. So they was there. You go, Sal. They had an opening, a need, right? And this kid come in and impress from day one, and you've seen what he turned into. Now, like Justin said, I think that's a rarity, right? Because I don't think me or you, and talking with Shoffy, I don't think either of us have really beat the door down for an incoming freshman this year. Not like we did with Downs, right?
But even then, I don't think any of us expected him to get close to 100.
There's not going to be one.
I mean, even with Downs.
We didn't. We knew he'd be really good and make a lot of plays, but 100 tackles and then get the interceptions and stuff that he did. He was. He's a unicorn that you don't find very often. So I'm sure Ohio State's glad that Saban retired because they got the best player in college football, I think, defensively, that is, because he can just change a game at the drop of a hat. And we've seen that all the way back to his high school days. He did the same thing there at Mills Creek. So I don't know if we'll have another one of those, but I'm not going to say no, right? I mean, the right player at the right school at the right time, it could happen, but I wouldn't count on it. I would just kind of watch and see some of these freshmen, not to say that some of these freshmen coming in that aren't good, but that's a lot to put on somebody to say, hey, who's the next Caleb Downs? That's because you just don't see that very often. So that does it. Next week, thanks, Sal, for the question. Keep them coming. But next week, we're going to do transfer portal and coaching changes in the MAC. Quick question. Are we going to add UMass to this? I know it's a year away before them.
Sure, we can.
Joining, but.
Because we're probably not going to. Yeah. That's a good idea because
we don't have many independents, so maybe we'll just throw.
We'll put Notre Dame in with the ACC.
Okay. I just thought of that. I was like, well, we're doing that conference. We could probably just slide them on in since it's a year away. But so we'll do the Mid-American, the MAC, with UMass now joining. So we'll get them in there. Thanks again, Sal, for all your question. Please send them to us. Please go rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, all those places. Go over to YouTube, throw us a like and a subscription there. It's starting to grow a little bit. We're up to 25 subscribers, so we'll get this thing moving. You can follow me at Hollywood Titan. You can follow Justice at Justice_2318. We're always glad to help and answer questions. Just talk ball. Give us a follow on X at DavyIDPGrind. Also, be sure to jump over and give the G5 Hive a follow at G5 Hive. That's Justice's other podcast that he does on offense. It's a really good podcast that they'll be doing later tonight, Justice.
Later tonight. We have a big announcement tonight, too. So.
Ooh, big announcement. I'm definitely going to have to tune into that to see what that's all about. But yeah, it's a really good show that him and Lucas, is it?
Luke. Yep.
Oh, Luke. See, I was close this time. So him and Luke do. They do a great job on the show, so go check them out. Thanks to Trophy Smack. Thanks to My Fantasy League. Thanks to Debbie.com. And thanks to you guys. Please send all your questions, answers, trades, whatever to us, and we'll be more than glad to help you out. With that, we will be back next week.